All right, you got your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen, I want to encourage you this morning. I really believe this. Hear me. Everything that I have the privilege to preach into from God's word is obviously significant and powerful. There's nothing in God's word that isn't important to our lives. Hear me this morning. But I believe that what I'm about to share with you, if you'll grab onto this, I believe if what I'm about to share with you this morning, if you'll allow the Lord to do a work that goes beyond your head and gets into your heart and begins to affect the way you live and the way you talk and the way you think, I believe that this is a game changer. That this really changes everything. This principle that is in God's word that we're going to dig into this morning. So before we get into God's word, can we pray and just ask the Lord to come and just grace us and strengthen us to be able to do what I just charged you to do, to really open our hearts to receive what God wants to say and speak into our lives today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity. Man, what a privilege it is to be gathered in this place as your people in your presence and visiting your promises which are found in your word, God. And Lord, we thank you for open hearts to receive today, Lord. Just in some ways, maybe this is going to be for some of us a reminder, and maybe for some of us it's going to be a brand new revelation. But we thank you, Lord, that your heart is to come and strengthen us as your people so that we can live in a way that brings you honor and live in a way that fulfills your call upon our life and live in a way that is filled with your peace and your joy, God. And Lord, anyone who's here this morning and that's not their present tense reality, they may be struggling in some area. They're weak or weary or wounded or hurting, God, in any area of their life, in any way, shape, or form, God, relationally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We also thank you, just like we say today, God, we believe in you and we believe that you're a God who still does miracles and we believe that you are here in this place and your heart is to strengthen and to heal and to restore and to comfort, God. And then to begin to, again, God, strengthen us and equip us to begin to run the race that you've outlined before us, God, to live in a way that's pleasing to you and makes a difference in the lives of those around us. And so, Lord, we say, come, have your way today. Speak to us, strengthen us, encourage us, heal us, God, in the name of Jesus. And all of God's precious and handsome people said, amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, before we read it, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to know more of God's will for your life? Come on, it's not a trick question. I'm raising my hand. I would like to know more of God's will for my life. And let's read and just see. I think there's something in this for us today. And maybe the way that we thought that might look, maybe it's a little bit different. And so are you willing to receive something today that might kind of challenge us in the way that we think about some things? And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 18 says this, rejoice always. Come on, somebody say always.
Always.
Pray continually. Come on, say pray always.
Pray always.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you might say, Pastor T, that sounds too simple, too basic. You're always telling us that God has a big plan, a big call, a big hope, a big future for us, a desire to use us and a desire to move in us and through us. And listen, it's true. He does and he will. But I'm telling you that in this passage, there are some principles for us that will allow us, if we grab onto them, listen, hear me, God really does have a big plan, a big heart, a big hope, a big future for you and for your marriage, for your family, for your kids, for this church, in this city, in this region, to the corners of the earth. He's got big things in his heart for you. Listen, it's not just about preachers and pastors and elders and teachers. It's for every believer, every person who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and commit your life to live for him and to serve him and to be about what he's called us to be about. That's his heart. Ephesians 3, verse 20, listen, says it in an unmistakable way. And in a really pretty radical way. It says this in verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Another translation says this. He's able to do infinitely more than we ask, than we think, than we imagine. The biggest, highest, best thing that you could imagine for yourself, for your family, for your finances, for the call of God, the biggest, best thing that you could ask, think, or imagine, he's able to do more, not just more, immeasurably more, infinitely more. Come on, that boggles the mind, right? Listen, Our part, we have a part in this. We have a part to play. Our part is to begin to ask. Our part is to begin to think. Our part is to begin to dream. Our part is to begin to imagine about what's possible. If we maybe go all in for Jesus in a new way or a fresh way, we begin to allow ourselves to be transformed by what the Bible calls the renewing of our mind, and we begin to break free of some old patterns and not be conformed to the way that the world says we gotta look, or the way the world says we gotta live, or the way the world says we gotta act, or even the way the world puts us in a box of what it means to be a Christian, but we begin to break free of those things. In that place, God begins to do more, immeasurably, infinitely more than we could ask, think, or imagine. God does have a good plan for your life. God does have a big future for your life. God does have a big dream for your marriage. God does have a big dream in his heart for your kids. But this passage, this scripture unlocks some principles of how to begin to discover it. How to begin to not just discover it, but how we can begin to live it out. And not just live it out, but then begin to enjoy the thing that God is doing in our life. And how many of you know that all three of those things don't necessarily happen together? Here's what I mean by that. You can discover or hear or be invited to something that God wants to do in your life, but fall short of really ever entering into it. You could enter into it, and because of a perspective or because of a way that the enemy causes you to focus on things from your past or guilt or sin or shame or lack or things that maybe were unfulfilled expectations or things that didn't go exactly the way that you thought they were going to go, you can discover something and be walking in it but not really fully enjoy it. I'm doing this, I'm living this, but I don't really have the peace or the joy of God that he intends for me to have. There's a principle here. God's got a big plan. God's got a will for your life. Because it says this is the will for your life. What? Rejoice always. Pray continually. And give thanks. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Repeat. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Repeat. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. Repeat. Rejoice. Come on, sometimes you get in that flow and you'll begin to even forget which one comes first. Give thanks, rejoice, pray, give thanks, rejoice, pray, give thanks, rejoice, pray. Which one? I don't know, I'm just living this out. God's called me to rejoice always, every season, in every circumstance, to give thanks to him. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's more than a turkey and a football game. Thanksgiving is the lifestyle. It's the life that God has called us to live. And listen, it's more than just good Christian behavior. It's more than just good manners. It's a powerful principle that unlocks some things in God's kingdom and unlocks some things that God has for you, that unlocks some things, that connects us to some things that God is inviting us to and leading us to. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Rejoice, pray. Give thanks. Listen, you just begin to live that life and buckle up. Buckle up. Just watch what God begins to do. Watch how we begin to just say, Lord, there's a lot of opinions about how to do life and about how to live, but what your word says we're committed to do, we're just going to be a people who in every season we rejoice, we give thanks, and we pray. Just live that out. Just watch what God begins to do in your life. Listen, I say this often and I believe that it's true, but the Lord began to show me that there's actually kind of a different way to look at it, and that maybe if we begin to focus just a little bit differently, we'll become more empowered to live out something that I challenge us with often. In light of the fact that God really does have a big plan, a big dream, hope and a future for you, not to lead you into harm, but to deliver you from those things and see you through to some things. With that in mind, listen, I'm just encouraging you. I say this often, and it's true. The pathway to that thing, the new, the next, the more of God. I say this often, and it's true. The pathway to the new, the next, and the more of God is always faithfulness with the now of God. But God began to just remind me about that and began to just kind of put a little spin on it that I believe really, really spoke to me and ministered to me, that maybe you could say the same thing, that the pathway to the new, the next, and the more of God, and by the way, you have a new. There is a next. There is more for you. I don't care where you're at today. I don't know where you're at today. I'm telling you, because of the God that I know and because of what I've seen him do in my life and the lives of others, what I know to be true is that irregardless of where you are today, a difficult season, a challenging season, and listen, some of you are really in a legitimate difficult season, a trying season, difficult circumstances. But because of who I know God to be, I'm telling you, there is a new. There is a next. There's a new chapter. There's a new season. There's a next chapter. There's more that God's inviting you to. Come on, it's true. Look at someone next to you and say, this is for you. This is for you. Come on, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and tell him it's for you too, even though you were my second choice. There's a new, there's a next, there's a more. But the Lord began to show me, I always say it's faithfulness with the now of God. And it's true. Just stewarding what God's already put in your hand. But the Lord began to speak to me about thanksgiving. Maybe we could also say the pathway to the new and the next and the more of God is thankfulness for the now of God. And is it possible that maybe if we fixed our focus on becoming more thankful for what God had already done, maybe if we just fixed our focus on being thankful for what God was up to in our life, is it possible that maybe we would become more faith-filled for what God was yet to do? Is it possible that maybe thankfulness leads to faithfulness? Listen, y'all don't hear me. Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. When I really get thankful for something, come on, when I really, I mean in a new way, in a deep way, in a way that goes beyond just Thanksgiving turkey, but goes to the deepest places of my heart, when I get thankful for what the Lord has done in my life, when I get thankful for all the ways that He's delivered me, when I get thankful for all the things that He kept me from that I maybe never even knew about, when I made poor decisions and poor choices and I should have been over the cliff, but He preserved my life, when I get thankful for all the ways that He's moved, maybe that's the thing that will motivate me to a greater level of faithfulness. Because you're faithful with something that you're thankful for. I mean, I'm just telling you, anything in your life, your God, your church, your spouse, your car, your house, your job, your money, you get thankful for that thing, you'll be faithful with that thing. Thankfulness comes first. Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. Come on, look at someone next to you and say, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Come on, I know a buddy back in Texas, and that's the way he prays for meals, and everyone loves him for it. Everyone wants Ricky to pray for the dinner because he just looks around the room and says, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Well, let's eat. Come on, you don't want me praying for the dinner. I'm going to be praying for your mama and your papa and your cat and your dog and everything else that God's doing in your life, you know, and eventually I'll get around to blessing the food, and eventually we'll find our way to eat, you know. Are you thankful? Thankfulness comes first. Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. Listen, I'm just telling you. We in this season where we've been speaking about and encouraging you to a life of generosity, come on, not just a collection to the legacy campaign, but a commitment to building God's kingdom with generosity. Not just a collection, but a culture of generosity that prioritizes God and says, yes, God, whatever you call us to do, we're all in and we'll do whatever it takes. We'll show up to serve. We'll write the check. We'll do whatever it takes. That's the kind of culture that we're building. What may be the thing that would fuel that is thankfulness. Maybe a culture of generosity is fueled by a culture of gratitude. So when we really get thankful, I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm thinking about all the ways and all the things that God has done and all the things He's saved my life from. There's nothing else I could do but respond to serve God and give to God and love God and to tell others and to speak up and to share about everything that He's done in my life. Because I'm thankful. Because I'm grateful. My kids, they'll ask me, I mean, we'll be driving around town and I'll just start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm just telling you. It's something that's not just in my heart, it's begun to come out of me. And a couple months ago, one of the kids said, Dad, why are you always saying that? And it gave me that perfect opportunity. I said, kids, it's because Dad didn't always know God. Dad didn't always serve God. And if you could go back and see some of the things that I did and the mistakes that I made, you would know why now I think about what all God's done and what he's brought me through and seen me to, and the reason that now I can't help but driving across town to take you to Chick-fil-A, not on Sunday, but on Saturday. That I can't help but just just spontaneously, it just comes out of me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When we get thankful for something, we really get faithful about something. Your God, your church, your car, your job. Come on, can I just tell you that the pathway to the new, the next, the more of God is thankfulness with the now of God. The job you have, the friends you have, the church you have, the role you have. There's something more that God wants to do. Maybe he's called you to the mission field. Maybe he's called you to preach and teach or lead worship or write the next worship song or whatever it is. But maybe now the role that you have is opening the door and handing out the bulletins or showing up early and brewing the coffee, plating the donuts and putting them out, or teaching the kids or whatever it is that God's called you to. Come on, the pathway to the new, the next, the more of God is always thankfulness with the now of God. Lord, I'm just so thankful you saved me and you deliver me, and what a blessing it is to show up early and hold the door open so some other people can come and hear about the radical saving grace and love of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I get the privilege. I get the privilege. I don't have to. I don't have to. I get to show up early to brew the coffee and plate the donuts. Instead of I don't have to, I get to show up early to minister to the kids and prepare the classrooms and organize the baskets. I don't have to. I get to. Because I'm thankful. And because I'm thankful, I'm faithful. Come on, with the spouse that God's given you. I'm thankful. Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that any human being would be willing to marry me. With all the baggage and the stuff and the hang-ups and stuff I got going on in my life. I mean, come on, it's true. And I have the privilege of walking people through marriage counseling who are going through difficult situations. And inevitably, this is what I see, is that at some point, the enemy stole their focus and their attention from all the things they had to be grateful for about that person and began to highlight all the things that were little annoyances or aggravations that when you were dating were actually cute to you. But after a few years now, you're in your pastor's office about to throw in the towel. And listen, I'm just telling you, if you go back to the place where you begin to shift your focus from all the things and all the ways that God blessed you by bringing that person into your life and allowing them to put up with you, and go back to that place and say, Lord, just help me to be grateful. Listen, I'm not talking about excusing bad behavior or giving a pass for things that need to change, but I'm just telling you, maybe the pathway to the changes actually happening is you beginning to focus with gratitude on the things that they are doing right and that you do appreciate about them. Is it just possible? I can't speak for every man in the room, but I know when my wife comes, even in the seasons where she has to maybe look kind of hard to find something that I'm doing well or doing right, when she's willing to look hard and find that thing and come and say, you know, I really appreciate the way you did this with the kids, or the way you showed up for this, or the way that you made that time, or the way that you took the time, or whatever it is, I'm just telling you, it captures my heart and it causes me to think, man, that felt good. What else can I do? Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. And I was thinking about this, and it reminded me about a joke that involves a dog, and telling a joke about a dog when you're talking about marriage is really kind of dangerous and risky, but I'm gonna go there anyways, so buckle up. And this joke was about a dog who showed up at a butcher store with a purse of money in his mouth, and the dog went to the counter of the butcher store and got the attention of the butcher, who came over, and the dog dropped the bag of money right in front of the butcher window right there where all the meats were neatly laid out, and the dog dropped the steak there, the money there right in front of the steak, and the butcher came over and said, I think this dog is trying to buy some steak. And so the butcher started to encounter the dog and said, boy, are you here to buy some steak? And the dog dropped the bag of money and barked, arf, arf. And he said, how much steak would you like, 1 pound? And the dog shook his head no, and he said, 2 pounds? And the dog said, arf, arf. And so the butcher packed up the 2 pounds of steak and went over to the place, and the dog followed him back over to the counter where you paid for the steak or the meat or whatever, you know. And the dog brought the bag of money back with him and lifted the bag of money up onto the counter and dropped it onto the place where you pay for the steak. And the butcher got the bag out and opened it up and counted out the money and the change, and it was exactly the price that was needed to pay for 2 pounds of steak according to the market price of the day. And the butcher thought, this dog is amazing. And so he took the steak that he had wrapped up and pushed it out to the edge of the counter, and the dog left the bag of money and picked up the bag of steak and went about his way out the door back towards wherever he was going. And the butcher said, I just got to go see where this dog came from and where he's headed. And so the butcher followed the dog around the corner to an apartment complex, up 3 flights of stairs, down the hall to apartment 3C, where the dog dropped the bag of steak at the door of apartment 3C. And began to put his muzzle up to the door to try to open it. With no results, the door was locked. So the dog began to scratch and paw and claw at the door. Come on, how many of you ever had a dog that did that? And began to bark until the owner finally kind of came to the door and was frustrated and said, Fido, you dumb old dog. And the butcher couldn't contain himself. He said, what are you talking about, mister? You've got the smartest dog in all the world. He brought the money and bought the steak and brought it back and brought it right to you. And he said, yeah, well, it's the second time this week he forgot his key. That was a long joke for that level of laughter. But how do you know it's true? We can fall into the same trap. We focus on the things that frustrate us. We focus on the one thing. All kinds of things to be thankful for. All kinds of things to be grateful for. I'm just telling you, the enemy is a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he'll start with the people that are closest to you to try to come and accuse that person to you so that you begin to build a divide in your heart. And where you shift your focus from all the things and all the ways and all the times that God was faithful and all the things that you have to be grateful for, and the enemy fixes your focus on the one place where you've got to struggle, or the one place where you've got to challenge, or the few things that that person does that aggravate you or annoys you. Come on, we got to fix our focus. We got to fix our focus. Come on, look at someone next to you and say, fix your focus. Fix your focus, fix your focus, fix your focus on what God's doing in your life. Fix your focus on the things that you have to be grateful for in your life. Fix your focus on the things that you have to be grateful for about your spouse. Fix your focus on the things that you have to be grateful for. Come on, the job you have, the car you have. Man, I'm just thankful. I just think it gets the attention of God. When the thing that he's put in our hands and entrusted to us, man, we're just thankful in such a way that it causes us to be faithful. I mean, I'm thankful for my old pickup truck in such a way that I'm going to wash the thing and keep the thing clean and keep it cleaned out and keep it looking nice. And come on, I think God looks down and it gets his attention. I'm thankful for the house I have, the apartment I have, the job I have. Come on, when you get thankful for the job that you have, you show up and you be faithful. I mean, if you're really thankful for the job at the chicken store or wherever it is, the chicken store. The place where they cook chicken is what I meant by that. I don't know if there's a lot of chicken stores out there. When you're thankful for that job on Chick-fil-A, come on, that's closed on Sunday, glory to God. You show up and you fry chicken in a little different way. Come on, you got a little swagger about you. I'm thankful for this job, man. I know God's got something different for me. Someday I'll own the thing, manage the thing, whatever. But right now, I'm just thankful that right now I get the opportunity, the privilege to come here and work with these people and serve these people in the name of Jesus. Thankfulness leads to faithfulness. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this. Come on, not everything needs to be perfect for you to be thankful. It says every circumstance. And can I just tell you are bound in your life at any given time. You're bound to have some things that are going good, and you're bound to have some ways that God needs to show up on the scene in your life. But he doesn't tell us to just be thankful for the things that are good and complain and grumble and murmur about the things that are not going so well. He says, in everything, everything. And Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Come on, there's a powerful principle here. You can begin to give thanks to God before he even shows up on the scene. Come on, some of you are single in the room. You can begin to thank God if it's the desire of your heart for the spouse that he's saving for you and preparing for you in Jesus' name. You know what I've learned over the years? That God responds a lot more to faith than he does to begging. Maybe here's a better way to say it. God responds more to praising than he does to pleading. Just praise God. Come on, just give him thanks. God, I thank you. You're working in my life. Your ways are higher than my ways. You know what I'm going through. You know where I've been. You know the perfect timing, the perfect place, the perfect job, the perfect God. You know all those things. And so I don't know how it's going to look or how it's going to go, but in the middle of it all, I'm choosing to just say, thank you, Lord. I will praise you. Be anxious for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication. Give thanks with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. It's a powerful principle. Why? Because thankfulness leads to faithfulness. And God's looking for faithful people. The Bible says that he that is faithful with little will be faithful with much. It's an invitation to increase and to promotion. Lord, I'm just thankful what you've given me. I mean, come on. I hate to be redundant, but it's true. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody's coming alive on the inside with a new level of thankfulness for some of the things that you already have in your life today. The job you have, the car you have, the spouse you have, the house you have, the apartment you have, the opportunity you have, the church you have, the role you have. When we give thanks before God moves, before the promotion, before he shows up, before he heals you, before he meets the need, we give thanks in advance of those things happening. Come on, we begin to give thanks in advance. Right now, we give thanks in advance that the Dallas Cowboys will defeat the New England Patriots this afternoon. In a way that moves Tom Brady to go into retirement right after the game in his press conference. Come on, for the glory of God and the good of all humankind. We give thanks in advance. Lord, that thing that I believe you're up to, that thing that you're doing, that thing that you spoke, I give thanks. Why is it powerful? Because it's the ultimate atmosphere of faith over that promise. It blows out the middle ground of doubt, worry, anxiety. I'm just settling it. God, that thing, I'm just thanking you for it in advance. I haven't seen it show up on the scene. I'm already saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I'm just telling you, this is something that practically you would do well to pull into your prayer life. It says it so clear, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's the ultimate atmosphere of faith over the things that God is doing in your life. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're going to see that wayward son or grandchild back home to serve you and to know you and to live for you. Lord, thank you that you're going to give us the wisdom and the breakthrough and the resources to pay those bills. Lord, thank you that you're going to make a way for the healing of that relationship or the restoration in my physical body. Lord, thank you. I thank you. I thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord. The next verse, if we'll do these things, here's what we get. You'll experience God's peace, which will exceed anything that we can understand. And that level of peace, come on, the peace that God gives, what's it say? It will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The peace of this world is fleeting and circumstantial, but the peace that God gives, it's unshakable and unwavering. Thank you, Lord. Grab onto this. Begin to apply it in your life and just watch what God does as you begin to fix your focus on all the things and all the ways that you have to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen.